The riff peaked at BTC Prague when our very own Tony Osbeck took the stage immediately after Proof of Reserves Are Risky, Michael Saylor.
If you're an Australian and you're watching this, now is the time to get your Bitcoin off exchanges and into self-custody.
There's been many cases of these fake Sparrow apps on the App Store that people have actually lost real money with.
A quiet struggle has plagued Bitcoin the last couple of years, two sides fighting for two very different things, paper Bitcoin derivative products from Wall Street and freedom fighters encouraging sovereignly held sats and cold storage. The rift peaked at BTC Prague when our very own Tony Osbeck took the stage immediately after Proof of Reserves Are Risky, Michael Saylor. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. I have the incredible Bitcoin Katie and King of Sovereignty, Tony Osbeck, here with me. First, smash that like button, be sure you're subscribed to the channel, and stick around for our donkey of the week at the end. Guys, let's talk about BTC Prague. I'm going to jump into this video real quick.
BlackRock's a big winner. You look at IBIT, you know, extraordinarily successful at wrapping Bitcoin and securitizing it in the United States. This is STRC. This is our product. What is it? Short duration, high yield, fixed income. Target in the United States. What is another product? Well, MSTR is amplified Bitcoin. It's highly volatile, high volatility, high amplification Bitcoin targeted a certain market.
Over the past years, governments have changed their tone about Bitcoin. First, they mocked it. Then, they tried to ban it. And then, they tried to regulate it into submission. And now, they're doing something far more dangerous. They're trying to absorb it. Because when a system cannot destroy a threat, it tries to turn it into a product. It rebrands it, it repackages it, and it sells it back to you as convenience. Bitcoin wrapped in legacy finance is not Bitcoin.
Alrighty, guys, so very different approaches to taking the main stage at Prague between Michael Saylor and Tony. Tony, why don't you talk a little bit about you? I was backstage with you prior to you going on. We were waiting for Michael Saylor to wrap up. He had his car waiting out back, ready to leave without having to rub shoulders with any plebs. Why don't you tell me what was going through your head during that time and then as you took the stage?
I was both very excited and slightly nervous simply because of the speech that I was giving out. It was a very personal one, one that took me a very long time to put me together. And honestly, my only worry was that, you know, some of these old pictures, you know, would trigger some sort of, you know, some sort of emotion. Thankfully, that didn't happen. But I was, you know, 100% fired up to deliver, you know, a message out there that, you know, what happened to me isn't new. In fact, you know, the legacy scam and frauds and Ponzi's have been going on for decades. My dad suffered through it three times. The difference is that he didn't have much of a choice compared to us today, but yet he survived through skills and judgment and, you know, discipline and resilience. And if he can do it with, you know, no tools available to him, we don't have much of an excuse, right? So I needed people to understand that. And thankfully, it resonated in a very big way with the crowd, because I think many folks also associated my message with someone that meant a lot to them, that they also remember as someone who being, you know, a very powerful example in their life, someone who guided them to growing up a certain way, to, you know, being disciplined in a certain manner. And it was a very, very good reminder as to why we are here and why Bitcoin exists in the first place. It is not a legacy tool, right? It is not something meant to integrate into the legacy system. It is something that was created to completely replace it, or at least provide a real and viable alternative for those who don't want to be subjected to the abuse and the corruption and the surveillance and the control and all that garbage from the legacy system anymore, right? This is what Bitcoin is about. And it's just new, and we have to learn how to, you know, navigate these new waters. But, you know, the messaging out there, the psyops and the people on the other side, obviously their resources are much bigger than ours. And so the struggle is really an uphill battle. But I think based on the reaction of people, you know, at Bitcoin Prague, it seems to me that more folks are, you know, remembering, you know, what really matters at the end of the day, that freedom is our God-given right. And it's really up to us to go out there and protect it. And, you know, the message after the keynote from people was really overwhelming. I was inundated with folks that came up to me very emotional because, you know, the words, you know, brought back memories of something, you know, that they had essentially perhaps forgotten. And all it took was to see some of these pictures on screen and it all came flowing right back, man. And sometimes that's really all that's needed to wake up the right folks and push them in the direction that they need to go. And I'm very optimistic and bullish that mission was accomplished. So thank you to everybody who appreciated the keynote. Thank you for everyone who came up, you know, to speak to us afterwards. And thank you really for everyone who is in this fight for the protection of sovereignty and freedom.
Yes. And we're going to link to that keynote speech below. It's already got 70,000 views, maybe more at this point. Katie, so you were in the crowd. Would love to hear what your thought was on the temperature of the room. I don't know if you caught the back end of Michael Saylor's speech, but I know you caught all of Tony's. What were you seeing out in the crowd?
You know, it really was just a study in absolute contrasts. I mean, for me, Saylor's speech, you know, it was cool to see him on stage, but Saylor's speech eventually had me kind of looking at my watch and going, you know, I've heard enough now. When is this going to be over? It was very sort of descriptive. It was very, you know, a discussion of various financial products. And when his speech finished, a lot of people got up and started to walk out of the room. And I went and sat down and I looked at those people and I thought, they don't know what they're missing now. I mean, Tony was on stage almost immediately after Saylor had finished talking and these people were still leaving the room. And I thought, stop, you need to hear what Tony has to say. And, you know, I found Saylor's speech a little bit hard to watch in the end because, you know, he was not keeping my attention. You know, he got applause, but he didn't, I would say he didn't get like a standing ovation or, you know, people didn't seem that enthusiastic. And I found that Tony's speech was also hard to watch, but for all the right reasons. It was a very moving personal story about his dad. And honestly, I don't think that there was a single person in the room that could not relate in some way and wasn't moved by it. And also, other than Tony's speech, I have to mention Michael's speech as well, which I watched live the day before, you know, about the yield on Bitcoin being freedom. And I think that really ties in nicely with this theme of high-yield Bitcoin products. You know, he really drove the point home that the yield is not fiat. The yield is something that's much more personal and important than that. So make sure you go and watch, obviously, go and watch Tony's speech. It's great if you haven't already. And go and watch Michael's speech, which was actually released today. So make sure you check that out as well.
I appreciate that, Katie. And if you only have time for one, check out Tony's because Tony, I told you afterwards, to Katie's point, it was something that was personal to you. But I think Katie is correct. It's going to resonate with everyone. I'm not a crier at all. You almost got me, Tony, because I was sitting there thinking about my dad, who grew up with nothing, not really within a loving family. And in one generation, flipped the script. Built a business, built a family, built a life. And so it was incredibly cool to hear, just to hear a little bit more about you and your life outside of just Lebanon and what happened to you in 2019. So guys, real quick, Shotgun, tell me what's a favorite part of Prague? What was your biggest takeaway besides anything unrelated to speeches? Katie, you go first.
Okay, so the biggest highlight for me, okay, there are two. I have to choose two of them. One was finally getting to meet the Bitcoin Way team in person, getting to meet most of them. And then second, also getting to meet some of our wonderful clients who came to Prague. And, you know, it just felt to me like the Bitcoin Way attracts the best people. So, you know, these people that I talk to, you know, they're razor sharp, they get it, and they're just genuinely good people. And talking to the clients really cemented that for me. And, you know, they all had such unique and compelling stories themselves. And I was thinking, you know, it would be so cool just to have like a dinner party with a group of these people around the table, and you go away much richer for it. So yeah, that was definitely the highlight for me.
Tony, how about you?
Absolutely, man. The people for me are the number one reason to attend, you know, this conference. The signal was so amplified this year, like much bigger than any of the previous years. You could tell that, you know, from what newcomers or people who don't understand much about money or Bitcoin, you know, call a bear market. There was no feeling of any bear market at that conference. People were extremely optimistic, extremely bullish, asking the right questions. Our booth was flooded with the right crowd. You know, there was a lot of interest in proper self-custody. There was massive interest with relocation to better jurisdictions, you know, those that value freedom, Bitcoin, and all the stuff that, you know, all of us sovereign individuals value very much. Another thing that was very important and personal to me was the hosting of a very special dinner that we put together where, you know, we just spent a nice evening with other Bitcoin influencers in the space that, you know, we hadn't had the chance to meet face to face previously. And that gave us, you know, a tremendous opportunity, first of all, to get to know one another, but to really get an in-depth understanding about, you know, who we are, what we're really about, what we really do. And I think the conversations that came about that evening, you know, like they answered a lot of, you know, unspoken questions. And I believe it was a very critically important event to just unify and strengthen the bond between folks, even influencers who may at some times feel that, you know, they're alone in on this journey. No one is alone on the Bitcoin journey. And if you come to conferences like Bitcoin Progs, that is the last thing you think about. In fact, the number of folks on this path is so large that you almost forget that everybody else out there, you know, is clueless. So highly encourage folks to come to these events, the real, you know, conferences where there's only signal, none of that shitcoinery, you know, type of Vegas events that are out there. You know, focus, don't waste your money on them. Focus on the places where you're going to get the most value. And in my opinion, these conferences like Bitcoin Prague, the number one, you know, return on investment is the people that you interact with, the people that you get to know, the people that you form friendships with within minutes, even though, you know, you've just met them. This is where, you know, the community, the circular economies continue to flourish and continue to grow. And, you know, all of these things put together keep me, you know, on such a bullish high. I'm very excited for the future. And I think anyone who finally resonates, you know, with this message and Bitcoin will come to that same conclusion.
You guys are so sentimental. My favorite thing was winning the Diamond Hands grip strength competition.
Let's go, MJ.
Oh my God.
74.74?
Wow.
My God.
But, no, I'm joking. No. It was so fun meeting the team. And one of my favorite things, truly, and I had the opportunity to do this in Vegas, Tony. Unfortunately, I did waste some of my sats on that. But I've gotten to meet clients at every single event conference I've ever been to. You see the messages come in of gratitude for the work that we do, getting to give them a hug, shake their hand, and hear them talk about their experience with the Bitcoin way is just incredible. It reminds you of why we wake up and do what we do every single day. So, okay, guys, enough of the sappy stuff. Let's jump into some news. We got a bit of a warning here to give people. So NVK of CoinKite shared something. Actually, our team was talking about this internally before I even saw any tweets about it. So many got this letter. It's not from CoinKite. CoinKite deletes your data. And then he went on to blame. It's probably one of his competitors or some of the other places who have had data breaches. We're not pointing fingers at whose fault it is. The takeaway here is a letter went out to many CoinKite customers indicating that you need to update your device for post-quantum cryptography, this and that. They're trying to scam you. That's the takeaway. Tony, Why don't you talk a little bit about this, what people need to be aware of?
Yeah, this just, you know, shines another light at the dangers of, you know, blindly submitting information to companies or, you know, institutions just because you believe that that's just the way things are supposed to be. That's a lie we were, you know, fed a very long time ago. And, you know, over time we've normalized it, except now we've gotten to a point where, you know, it's being used against us. I don't know how these scammers got a hold of people's addresses, but someone where they've shopped before got hacked or their information got leaked. And of course, you know, with the existence of tools like AI now, it's very easy to put together an authentic looking letter and to spam it to all of these people that are on this stolen database, right? The key giveaways here is that this is not going to stop. I expect, you know, people to receive things of this sort, you know, many times in the going forward. But you can protect yourself. There are, you know, they all share a common denominator, especially when it comes to Bitcoin related stuff. If any of these, you know, scammy phishing messages involve you entering a seed phrase, that's your first dead giveaway. You delete it right away. If you know you haven't shopped somewhere and you've received an, you know, a letter from them or an email from them, delete it right away. Like, don't even bother reading it. Just trash it. Don't click on any links. Put it in the garbage. You have to stay vigilant. And going forward, when you are shopping for things like this, especially Bitcoin related things, use a throwaway email address. If possible, use a, you know, like a PO box, shipping address or an address that is temporary. Don't necessarily use, you know, your main residence if you have an option not to do so. But, you know, whenever there's an opportunity to obfuscate some of the real info for the protection of your privacy and, you know, in some cases, safety, absolutely go for it. So again, anyone receiving this letter, you know, from whoever the scammer is pretending to be CoinKite, throw it in the garbage immediately. It's a scam.
Yeah. And I would add, always check their Twitter account, always check their website. They're going to make announcements in public places. So don't just rely on a piece of mail that you get. And it's almost always going to be a scam if that's the case. Katie, anything you would add?
I don't have much to add because I think you guys have really covered it off. I was going to say the same thing as Tony, you know, just try not as much as you can. Don't give out your real info. Don't give out your real name. Don't give out your real address. Don't give out your regular mobile phone number and use a alias for your email if you can, you know, if you use Proton Mail or something like that. I mean, anytime you receive any communication from a crypto or Bitcoin related company, you just have to make sure that you do your due diligence and check, double check and triple check again before you take any sort of action.
Okay, up next, we have Craig Raw of Sparrow. So he had been trying to stop these spam Sparrow wallet accounts from hitting the Apple App Store and was flagged for termination. He says, ironically, for dishonest activity. This has since been turned around, so he's going to be fine. Now, the problem is we've had a lot of these fake Sparrow apps. People have been scammed. Tony, again, why don't you give a bit of a warning for what people need to look out for? What should they be doing to ensure that they're installing, downloading the correct software?
Yeah, man, this is a very big problem. And, you know, with the Apple ecosystem, the idea was then they were going to gatekeep which apps are allowed, you know, in that app store for the safety of everyone. But clearly, you know, over the years, their quality control has decayed considerably and they failed numerous times. So much so that, you know, there's been many cases of these fake Sparrow apps on the app store that people have actually lost real money with. And, you know, these people are innocent folks that, you know, thought that because, you know, they found it on the App Store, which is supposed to be a safe place, that it was okay to download it. So who's responsible for this at the end of the day, right? Like, I mean, if you're going to gatekeep something and something goes wrong, you know, to that extent, should you be held accountable? In my opinion, yes. But what people can do to protect themselves is always check with the original developers. I mean, yes, you know, there is some due diligence that each and every one of us, you know, has to do, especially again, when you're dealing with your money, don't just flippantly click on anything, you know, that you think is legit. Verify it all before you do anything, because, you know, all it takes is for one mistake and, you know, your funds will disappear within seconds. So I'm happy that Apple resolved this, but Apple needs to genuinely step up their game in order to, I don't know what they have to do, but they definitely have to do a lot more than they're doing currently in order to prevent any future mishap of this nature to occur on their store. Otherwise, you just cannot trust it.
absolutely. Katie, any follow-up comment there?
I mean, I use Sparrow. I love this wallet. But one of the issues, of course, that makes it a target for fakes and scams is that it's desktop only, and people often don't realize that. So, you know, they go to the iOS app store, they download something that they believe is the Sparrow wallet, and then they can be scammed out of their Bitcoin. And it just blows my mind that there are literally these fake apps sitting there in the Apple store, or at least have been in the past. People have had a lot of Bitcoin stolen through downloading these wallets. In this case, the developer, it seems, what he did was he attempted to create an app to warn people, look, this is any app in the App Store is fake. It does not exist as an app. It's only a desktop wallet. And this is what got him flagged with Apple. And that is crazy to me, because Apple's flagging the developer for trying to warn people not to get scammed, but the scammers are still there. So that doesn't make any sense to me. And again, just like the CoinKite scam, just be very, very vigilant. Be more vigilant than you think you need to be about what you download. Do all the due diligence. Also, you know, if you're a client of the Bitcoin Way, you can always just reach out to us, and someone will probably be aware of this already. And the other thing I was just thinking before, the other thing that you can do is make sure you're signed up for our newsletter, because I know that there was actually communications that went out, just going back to the previous story, about the CoinKite scam. So it's a good idea. Just try and stay updated with all this stuff as much as you can.
Absolutely. Yes. We'll link to the newsletter below, but it is an incredible resource for people. We're always reporting on the latest thing. So when you see scams like this, when you've got new laws, which we're going to talk about coming into effect, we're going to write up on them and fill you in. So, Katie, I want you to give a little bit of an overview on this next one. So we've got a tweet from our very own Mo, who talked about this. You got to remember, our folks are experiencing these things on the front line. So he said, as predicted, chaos is happening in Australia. They're having difficulties transferring Bitcoin from exchanges. So these exchanges are already taking steps to comply with the new laws. Katie, why don't you, Mo was quoted in this Yahoo article. Katie, why don't you share what's going on, what happens July 1st, and what Australians might expect to see?
Yeah, so we've talked about this a bit before, and in fact, we've got a dedicated video that talks about this specific issue. So just very briefly, the travel rule is with regard to the traveling of crypto assets, so from one address to another. It's nothing to do with people traveling. So for example, it covers off any transaction or any transfer that you make between two addresses. Now, if you're transferring from one exchange to another, you've already been KYC'd on both those exchanges. That information is already attached. However, what is going to happen now is that as of July 1st, and it's probably actually already been implemented for a lot of these exchanges, is that if you transfer from the exchange to a self-custody address, information is also going to be attached to that self-custody address. So basically, everything is going to be KYC'd at that point. And the issue here is that transactions can then be shared with AUSTRAC, which is Australia's financial intelligence agency, and they kind of act like a hub. And they interconnect with a whole bunch of different agencies and departments, and even international agencies as well. So your data can be shared far and wide. And of course, we have seen time and time again, the issue with this is data breaches. And AUSTRAC does not have a great, that they have been audited, and they don't have a great track record with regards to keeping data secure. So at this point, they haven't yet figured out, I know they're going to try because they do have to set a date, figuring out how to identify from one self-custody address to another, because that's obviously where, you know, that's not easy. So if you're sending from one self-custody address to another, that's not going to be covered by the AUSTRAC reporting, because they simply can't do it right now. But they've set a deadline for 2029 for that. And it's not because they don't want the info, it's just, you know, it's difficult to implement. So if you're an Australian and you're watching this, now is the time to get your Bitcoin off exchanges and into self-custody for multiple reasons, not just for this reason. And, you know, even if you miss this July 1st deadline, it won't matter because the best time to do it is now, you know, or, you know, in a few weeks' time or a month's time or whatever. Any time that you can get your Bitcoin off an exchange and into your self-custody is good. So just make sure you don't leave your Bitcoin sitting on an exchange.
Absolutely. A huge takeaway there. So click the link below. You can schedule a call with our team. We actually have some members of our team who I've seen in the group chat. They're opening up extra hours. And by the way, these guys already work a lot to make room for folks in Australia who need to get into self-custody here in the next week or so. Do it quickly. Take action. While you're at it, make sure you like the video, subscribe to the channel. We would really appreciate anything to feed the algorithm. Tony, I think we're going to see a big uptick in demand for proper self-custody setups. And I would add too, non-KYC Bitcoin purchases, because no one's going to want to deal with this if they are truly on the path to self-sovereignty.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I mean, I've been warning about this for the longest time, and now we're seeing it unfold, and it's not going to get any better. In fact, if you think this is bad, I think it's going to get, you know, considerably worse going forward. What they're trying to do is keep people, you know, locked in and hostage into their system, because there's a mass exodus of funds leaving, you know, Australia into, you know, a currency that they no longer have control over. And so what are they doing now? They're petrified and they're desperately trying to, you know, control the only thing they can, which is the on and off ramps. And that's why it's imperative that if you're holding Bitcoin, believe in it as money, the last place you want to keep it on is on these platforms, because it's not yours. And they are going to bombard you with all sorts of obstacles in order to prevent you from withdrawing. Now, this whole travel rule about, you know, identifying where you're sending it to, it's a bit foolish, in my opinion, because it won't work. It'll only work perhaps on the first transaction, which is yours. But beyond that, there's no way in order to provide, you know, the information that they want for these, you know, this, any subsequent addresses you send it to, because one, you may not know, you know, where, which, you know, where to, what that info is. If you're, let's say, buying, I don't know, like a product or paying for a service, they're not going to give you that information. And so it's going to be impossible to relay that back. Plus, there are a ton of privacy services that, you know, you can engage in order to, you know, protect your forward privacy. So all of these games, all of these tactics, in my opinion, are more fear-mongering than realities. As long as you have your Bitcoin in self-custody, the power goes back into your hands and away from theirs. At the same time, because I expect things to get worse, if you're in a position to leave Australia, do it. Because things will have to get, you know, exponentially worse before they fall apart completely in order to be rebuilt better. That's been, you know, my experience with these things. You know, if you read back in history, that's usually how things unfold. There are better places you can move to. There are places that don't harass you and try to steal from you 24/7. If you're in a position to do this, I highly recommend you consider it. But if not, you can start from now to at least do something about protecting your own privacy. Withdraw from any exchange all of your Bitcoin. You, if you're using an institution, you know, with the illusion that they're safer for protecting your coins, you are mistaken. The rules will eventually come to them, and you will run into the same type of headache that you do with an exchange today with any third-party institution. Bitcoin was created outside the system. You don't need to involve any component of that corrupt system in that money. It is yours 100% to control. You own it. You run your own Bitcoin node. And if you can, you leave to jurisdictions that protect these rights, and you surround yourself with like-minded individuals where you're not going to feel alone, where in fact you're going to feel empowered to rebuild and recreate and, you know, do things that you've never thought possible to you before.
Well said. So if you are in Australia or any place that doesn't respect your freedom, you can click the link below, learn more about our Plan B residency program. We can help you get your backup plan in Panama. It's an incredible country. You can pay for public services with Bitcoin. A lot of freedom lovers. We introduce you to other folks who are like-minded. Fantastic program. We've got one more. You don't hate the state enough. So Tony, this was your tweet. EU, get your Bitcoin off exchanges now, July 1st. Doing so is going to become significantly harder. Katie, why don't you fill the audience in on what's going on July 1st in the European Union now?
Yeah, so July 1st, a big date in Australia and in the EU. The EU is, they've already started implementing their MiCA licensing, or their MiCA rules. And part of that is that all exchanges used by Europeans must hold a MiCA license. If they do not, they can no longer serve European customers, including existing customers. And I read somewhere that only about 20% of exchanges have one of these licenses. You know, so it's just a whole nother layer of bureaucracy and compliance and limiting your choice as, you know, as a consumer as to, you know, if you want to use an exchange, which exchange you actually use. My personal preference is I'm getting off all, I have not KYC'd myself on any of these exchanges that have insisted that I do so because of this whole MiCA thing. I'm not personally not interested in doing that anymore. It's just all part of this whole, you know, the EU Parliament just voted 43-14 in favour of the digital euro. You know, this is no accident. This is all, you know, a crackdown, and then they're going to get us using their digital euro, or their CBDC, in other words. And this all seems to be converging quite nicely right now in Europe, you know, limiting your freedoms to, you know, choose how you purchase Bitcoin, introducing digital IDs, you know, having us or wanting us to use a digital euro, which has some, they say it's not programmable. It must be programmable because they're going to limit how much you can hold. They're going to ensure that all businesses must accept it, but may not actually hold it. So what they're trying to do is completely extract any aspect of having this digital money as a store of value. So this is just, you know, again, Europe is not going in the right direction. We're being ruled over by a bunch of out of touch and power hungry bureaucrats. And this is the time to be looking at alternative residencies, in my view.
Tony, we don't need to beat a dead horse here, and we're going to about to get to the donkey of the week, by the way. But any final comments on the European Union?
If you're in Europe, same as in Australia, and you've got the option to leave, do it.
That's a great final comment. Nice and short and sweet. Alrighty, guys, our donkey of the week. This is, you know, I don't know if he's been our donkey of the week yet, but it was to be expected at some point. Keir Starmer is out.
I will resign as leader of the Labour Party.
And Tony, I'll let you take this one first. What's your reaction to Keir resigning as prime minister?
This is the UK's version of Justin Trudeau of Canada. You know, one buffoon in, one buffoon out. These people are complete and utter failures. I mean, how they got into power in the first place is a miracle in and of itself. They absolutely had no value to contribute. They caused a big mess. They turned the country into a complete and utter disaster. They made people's safety, you know, they endangered people's lives with their absurd policies. And what do? Now they take the coward's way out. They resign. In my opinion, these people should be held accountable for everything, all the damages that they've caused. They shouldn't be just allowed to walk out the door and never look back as if nothing happened. But, you know, like you said, who knows who's going to replace him? All of this world, that corrupt system, politicians, regulators, all of that stuff, you know, they're all incentivized by the same thing. It's the broken money, right? The whole legacy system will never change. It doesn't matter who replaces him. His incentives will be no different than this clown. And the results will be no different from the mess that this guy created. If you no longer want to live, you know, in this world, you can just leave it. Simply stop using the product that they're offering, which is their money. Bitcoin is not an investment. You know, I've said it like a million times and I'll say it another million times. It is money that they cannot impose their corrupt rules on, whether they like that or not, whether they'll admit it or not. It's just a fact. Bitcoin is the torrents of money, peer-to-peer, electronic cash, no intermediaries, no third parties, point A to point B, done. If you want to start living in that future with the millions who have understood this already, you can do this as of this second. You don't have to put up with these headaches. Your vote will not matter because all of these crooks are part of the same club. And none of them work for you.
So, Katie, I only follow UK politics enough to have a laugh at them every once in a while. I'm not sure where you stand on this, but what's your take on Keir Starmer?
Keir Starmer was forced out. Excuse me. He resigned as the most deeply unpopular PM in modern history. Now, that's quite a feat because there's been a very rapid succession of prime ministers in the UK in the last few years. So his ratings were absolutely in the gutter and many British people despised him. So, you know, Labour took a big beating in the recent local elections, and that was just kind of a confirmation that, you know, the UK is not going the way that people would like it to. And that's really not surprising at all. I think my favourite part of Starmer's resignation speech was the part where he gave himself a massive pat on the back. And I quote, "I will give my successor my full and unequivocal support, knowing that they will inherit a Britain that is far stronger and fairer than the one I inherited 2 years ago." I mean, that's just, that's comedy level stuff. How Keir Starmer measures this fantastic improvement in the UK in the last 2 years, I have absolutely no idea, but it is absolutely not the case. So yeah, Keir Starmer, definitely a donkey, and whoever he replaced was a donkey, and whoever will replace him is also a donkey because they are politicians.
Yes, that is the perfect conclusion to this show. Katie, Tony, thank you. For everyone who tuned in, we really appreciate you being here. Again, sign up for the newsletter at the link below. Schedule some time with our team if you're interested in self-custody, Plan B residency. Now is the time, especially on self-custody. You've got to get your coins off of exchanges almost regardless of where you are in the world anymore. You never know when the off-ramps, on-ramps are going to close. And make sure before you leave, you smash that like button. Be sure you're subscribed to the channel. Most people aren't. They think they are. So make sure you can help us feed the algorithm. We appreciate that. Tony and Katie, great chatting. We will catch up again next week.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers.